The 161st Great Yorkshire Show is about to begin. We're about to actually start doing a range of interviews and features in our usual audio postcard way in association with Pharmanor Nutritional Supplements. But we thought we'd just start with some facts, actually. The annual cost of staging the Great Yorkshire Show, £3.4 million. The record attendance in 2006, 135,111. And I think this year they're expecting around about 130,000 as well. The number of championship awards and prizes, 598. The number of judges, 264. The number of trophies and cups to be won, 272. And the approximate number of animals competing, 8,500, with 45,500 cars parked and 125 tons of straw for livestock. It's clearly owning its reputation as a major agricultural event. Well, we've given the statistics, and who better to actually launch our official coverage of the 2019 Great Yorkshire Show as we work in association with Pharmanor than that awesome photographer who's here doing all sorts of magical things with cattle, but not pigs, as we'll find out during the course of the next few moments. It's Anthony Mosley. How are you, Anthony?
Very well, thank you. Lovely to see you again.
We're actually sitting, I'm a little bit stunned because they've introduced couches and settees and things into the press area, because normally I'm used to sort of firm back scenario here, and this is one of those where I could appreciate, you know, when you get to a certain chronologically gifted time and you think, well, I just have to practice getting up gracefully then.
Yes. Well, I find sitting on one of these sofas, and it's so early in the morning for me, that I could quite easily go back to sleep. But now you've caught me, and I've got to get my thinking head on. We better talk about what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I think that's exactly so. Exactly so. Let's give some information. I know that our co-host today, Emily Hartley, is on her way from North Allerton, stuck in traffic at present. We'll also be speaking to Rob Nichols from the Love Teesside setup. But from your own point of view, you are obviously primarily a cattle and livestock photographer. And tragically, this time around, actually, no pigs.
Well, apparently so. I arrived here on the very day the announcement was made that they were pulling the pig classes and competitions because they were worried that somewhere a pig had been found with some unconfirmed disease, and they were very worried that if it should be confirmed to be something rather nasty, they didn't want to, of course, to spread it. So suddenly, no pigs, and it is one of the major parts in livestock of this very show. It's famous for its pig competitions, the quantity of pigs, the people that come from all over the country, and some of the biggest competitions in the land for pigs.
Doubtless it will be revealed as the fullness of time. But I think, to be fair to the Yorkshire Agricultural Society, I can understand in our current climate, in our current environment, and obviously concerned with respect to that, why actually they decided to err on the side of caution.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And, you know, they can't take a chance, can they? Nobody can take a chance these days.
Unless, of course, it's about importing American foods with any kind of food restrictions lifted, but let's not go there.
No. So here we are. And my work, you're quite right in speaking about the livestock side, but of course the livestock side is just a part of our food industry. And I actually do work with every stage involved in the food industry, from the farming side right through to small craft cheese makers, sausage makers, to the big processors. And that food eventually splits into retail, catering, and institutional. And actually, my work follows that right through to what's on your table and how much you
eat. We really must do a year in the life of Anthony Mosley, an audio package of those other things. I think we'll have to work on that. I mean, we've known each other now for, I think, well over a decade. Yes. And I think it's time. Channel 5 can actually start covering the Great Yorkshire Show today. Clearly, they need to focus on yourself. And if they don't, we will.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say that. But it would take different things happen at different times of the year, you know, and in different parts of the land.
Of course, exactly. Because your travel is fairly extensive. I mean, when last we met up, of course, it was at the Lincolnshire Show, I think the 131st Lincolnshire Show. Here we are, I think, at the 161st Great Yorkshire Show. And in betwixt times, you've been to Norfolk.
Absolutely. And one day, what I'll have to do is persuade you to come down to the greatest show in the land, being, of course, the Royal Cornwall Show, started, in, I believe, in 1785. I don't know how many years that puts it in.
It's certainly ahead of a number of sort of key things there, certainly, yes. I think Nigel and company kept that sort of something quiet, but never mind.
But I don't know whether Royal Cornwall isn't too far for you to come to.
We have correspondents in Los Angeles and New York. We can get to Cornwall. We will get there, unless, of course, Cornwall declares independence and decides to actually go back to Europe or something. Let's not be political. The Great Yorkshire Show has obviously developed, it's evolved over the years. I always like to say with the Chief Executive Nigel Pulling, they tend to evolve it quite neatly, a bit like the Lincolnshire Show. Again, what are your own thoughts in terms of your first impressions so far?
I think actually yesterday I was out and about with some of the cattle exhibitors, and I think we've got some filming being done here for the Country File program, and it was really buzzing yesterday because we had a couple of the presenters and we brought out some of the cattle to photograph them for them to see. And yeah, there was a lot of people here yesterday, and that's the day before, you know, the show opens.
That was the reason I was actually asking, because I was here myself yesterday, not doing any interviews as such, doing a sort of general recce of where things actually are. And again, there was the sense that actually both exhibitors and various other things, they were ready for a successful time.
It was buzzing, and everybody feels terribly optimistic and upbeat about it, which is a lovely thing in the climate today. And let's just see how it unfolds.
And for your good self, once you wrap up 3 days at the Great Yorkshire Show, where's it off to next?
Oh, I go back. This time I don't go on to another show for a bit. I go back to my home, which is in Cornwall, actually. And then my next venture is out to the Royal Welsh Show, the big one in Wales.
We have moved on from the press area and spoken, obviously, to our ace friend and photographer, Anthony Mosley. And we've decided to actually speak to one of the key folk who are actually taking part today. We're lovely to speak to.
Hi, my name's Stephanie.
Stephanie, talk to us about what you're doing here at the Great Yorkshire Show.
So I've brought my horse, Poppy. She's a non-native coloured, and we're going to do the non-native coloured horse class.
Which is going to be fantastic and wonderful. So how far have you come to be at this grand event today?
We've come from Lancashire, so just outside of Southport.
So it's the War of the Roses, technically, then, revisited. I'm sure you'll do well. As a Man City supporter, obviously, I'm going to say that, but what the heck. So, is this your first time at the Great Yorkshire?
I've come as a spectator, but my first time competing. I've always wanted to bring a horse here, so it's really exciting to bring one.
Well, your team was already very positive to say you're looking calm and feeling the calm and all the rest of bits and pieces. How do you feel? I mean, are you about to go in the ring?
There's one class in before me, then I'm in. So I'm going to go take her for a little jolly round and have a look round, and then hopefully we'll do the last finishing touches and be in.
Stephanie, we wish you well. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. Where are you going to go off to after this?
After this? Oh, Chaps. Chaps Champs. That's our next show.
And a quick name check for the fine soul who's actually looking after the horse and doing all sorts of things.
Pauline, she's the top groom.
Hello, Pauline, top groom.
Good morning.
And again, I mean, because people often don't realise just how much effort goes into actually putting the horse and everything else together. And
especially a coloured, because she particularly is very mucky and has a lot of white on her, so it takes a lot of cleaning.
So what advice would you give anybody who's listening to this particular piece and listening online and they say, I want to be the next Stephanie?
Oh gosh. Be prepared to get up early, scrub a lot, and enjoy it. Have plenty of gin on board.
Well, there we are. Sums it all. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Bye.
It's fair to say that a Great Yorkshire Show without the legendary Charles Mills, it just wouldn't work at all. I know we've had people in the background who've done a whole range of things, and Nigel might have one or two things to say about that. But Charles, it's a delight as ever to see you looking on top form.
Thank you very much, and a delight to see you too.
Well, again, looking through your programme notes, I was particularly impressed with the fact that once again, you guys at the Yorkshire Agriculture Society and the Great Yorkshire Show have outdone yourself. You've got a new fashion area, Coroni Fashion. You've got more livestock coming through. You've got a whole heap of other things. Again, it's evolution without necessarily revolution.
Well, hopefully we've got to try and improve it a little bit each year. The fashion show does look pretty exciting, as you say, and livestock areas look great too.
We were commenting earlier with one of our photographer colleagues, Anthony Mosley, about it was sad news about the decision to actually say no to pigs this year. But I can understand certainly from your own point of view and the Yorkshire Agriculture Society's point of view, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Totally, but we work very closely with the exhibitors, and that's the decision they wanted. And so it's a joint decision, and in my view, it was the correct one at the time.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to be running any kind of risk whatsoever, particularly when, of course, Channel 5 are here. So, I mean, is this the reason for a specially buffed up Great Yorkshire show today?
No, it's not a reason for buffing it up. Every show's buffed up. But no, it's great to have Channel 5, and you will all be able to see it on TV if you come to the show, and then you can go back home and watch it and have a double whammy of show.
Well, absolutely, because so often we used to obviously Calendar and the BBC and doing sort of short areas, and Countryfile would do snippets, etc. But I think, if memory serves, this is the first time that you've actually had a major terrestrial broadcaster actually do a full 2 hours on the actual event itself.
Yeah, and you know, as I say, it's a real privilege to have them here, and we're very grateful, and they've been actually filming for some time now on the build-up to the show, so it's not just on show days.
I'll just rephrase that. It's basically it's Channel 5's privilege to actually be in the awesome company of the Yorkshire Agricultural Society. We've got to keep our standards up here. I can say that. You possibly couldn't bother it.
Well, we're very pleased, and when anybody wants to come here, it's a privilege for us to have people come too.
Well, we know Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting, we've appreciated all the help and assistance over the years, and hopefully you've reciprocated. Emily, it's your first Great Yorkshire Show. Questions for Charles?
Yeah, as my first time at the Great Yorkshire Show, what would you really recommend that I go and see?
Everything. There's something here for everything, but fashion might be something you might enjoy, but the livestock are always a great attraction. You know, I don't care where you go on this showground, there is just so much to see, and realistically, you can't see it in a day properly.
Indeed. I mean, looking ahead, of course, we've also got one of our regular correspondents, the host and founder of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, but this time he's going to be dressed as Captain James Cook. Rob Nichols is actually going to be on the Love Tees Valley stand.
Well, you told me something I didn't know, actually, so there we go.
You will see James Cook or his double actually wandering around the particular zone as well.
Right, I'm sure it's his double.
You never know. Rod is quite chronologically gifted. Emily.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing the livestock. Is it like difficult to get it all in one place? Like, how much planning does that take? How far in advance do you have to plan all of this?
A long way. It's pretty much as soon as this one's finished, we will have a wind down of what's gone wrong, and prepare and hopefully put those things right for next year. But it does take a long, long time, and I am very lucky. I work with a group of people that are wonderful people.
I must admit that. I mean, for those of us who kind of remember the days of Judy Thompson and Lady Ingleby and so on, and obviously Bill Cowling and so on, I thought they're never going to actually sort of. But you've matched it, and you've succeeded them, and it continues to grow and grow successfully.
Well, I'm just part of a team. I'm just a little cog in the wheel, and it is very much a team effort here, and. We like the exhibitors to be involved. Hopefully that's something I brought to it, to encourage people to give us feedback and be involved and understand sometimes why we make a decision that we do.
Well, certainly we'll be catching up with some old friends, both at the Country Living area and indeed with some of the Food Hall exhibitors. It's been absolutely awesome. Presumably Countryside Live, of course, the sibling of the Great Yorkshire Show, already in plan and in place for a wonderful October.
Yes, but let's get this one over first. Again, Countryside Live will be slightly different to how it's been before. I'm very much at families. But please, can we just get these 3 days over first?
It'll happen. I mean, I know that the Duke of York will be the sort of the icing of the cake, basically, on Thursday, so all will be well from that point of view.
Yeah, a huge honour to have any royal visit. And he's very much into technology, so we will aim to take him to those sort of areas.
And I was very pleased, and you can relay this actually to Nigel, that both yourself and Nigel Pulling are featured in wonderful photographs in the brochure. I mean, you can be as obviously show director, you're just before him, but Nigel himself is looking in a particularly strong action pose. You've even got Heather.
Yes, the pair of them are great people.
It's awesome. Many thanks indeed, Charles. Take care. Doubtless we'll see you either later on in the show season or indeed at other events and so on.
Thank you very much.
Peachy Belts, we'll sort the editing out here, and the awesome
Zoe Gibson,
Zoe, we missed you last year. I think we connected with you, I believe, at the wonderful joys of the Burley Horse Trials.
Could have been Burley indeed, or Badminton we do also. But we haven't been to Great Yorkshire for 3 years, and we felt it was definitely time to come and see all of our customers further north. So we're back here in the country living tent to hopefully see them today and tomorrow.
And Harrogate has missed you, Zoe. Anyway, Emily, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, there's lots of different styles of belts and buckles. The zebra one really sticks out to me, that one there.
Yeah, no, it's one of those real eye-catching belts that does a proper job, real statement belt, you know. And then one can obviously put any of the more decorative buckles onto them, because the ordinary buckle will detach. So you could dress it up, although in fairness, the zebra doesn't need a lot of dressing up.
Zoe, I must admit, I must introduce you to your namesake, Zoe Jameson, who works with the wonderful Dubarry people, basically, because I think Zoe probably would benefit, not to benefit, she obviously, but I think everybody would benefit from a peachy belt.
Oh, absolutely. If you wear jeans, you need a belt, and the option to be able to change your buckle is a really strong one, and they're great presents, too.
I think it's almost 5 years since we first met, or thereabouts.
Could be longer, actually.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
So how has it been growing and developing since then?
Fantastic, because people are appreciating they're very much getting the quality, but the option of being able to put a different buckle on means it's a great present option too. So yes, we have a lot of repeat custom, and I love doing it because we introduce new things each season.
So what then would you counsel Emily here, if she was sort of for belt? What do you think she would actually suit there?
I do think the zebra, because the zebra belt is a right good statement. You can wear it on so many different colours. You can put it on your denim, with your black jeans, with your white. And actually it's fun on really bright colours too. So I think the zebra belt, with something quite simple, probably just a little buckle like that, which will just dress it up a bit, but not too much, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What do you find sells the most? Is it the more simple ones, or is it the more unique looking?
Okay, so consistently we're selling tan, grey and navy ostrich, the plain straps. Those we're selling all the time. But yes, the zebra and then bright pink, bright orange has sold really well too. So it's a bit of a mix, but I would say every day it's the classic colours that you know you're going to put on every morning.
And presumably peachy belts on the social media?
Absolutely, yes, we do. Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And can obviously anything can be bought online at peachybelts.co.uk also.
Splendid. Looking ahead, of course, presumably you will be at the Burley Horse Trials.
Most certainly we will. We'll have a lot of sale options there, as well as our new winter range. So it's always a good place to come and see us in country living.
Zoe, it's been delightful as ever. Take care now.
Thanks very much indeed. Nice to see you.
Well, we've just returned clearly from Zoe and her particular stand with the peachy belts to a young lady who we met, I think, for the first time. Was it last year, George?
Yes, it was. Yes.
And I know my colleague then, I think Sue, was particularly impressed with the range of fascinators that you've put together. And it seems as though you've exceeded yourself.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I've tried to make something a bit different this year, and doing some new skills making leather, and I just wanted to bring some brightness and things into this dreary, drizzly day today.
And you will, George, you will, because that's what you do. Emily.
Yeah, I can see there's lots of different styles and everything. What do you find people buy them for? What kind of events do people buy them for mostly?
They vary. Obviously, we've just had Royal Ascot, which has obviously been a massive showcase and things for me with my hats. But now it kind of goes into weddings. And then August, we've got the York Ebor Festival, which I get a lot for. And then I'll be exhibiting at Burley, and then it'll be going into the Ledger.
You're at Burley?
Yes.
Is that your first time at Burley?
It will be my third year.
Oh, right. Yeah. We must have missed you, because we will be at Burley as well. Yeah. And I know Richard Fitzwilliams, our film critic, has said he'd always benefit from one of your fascinators when he does Royal Ascot, so I must mention that to him. Has it been a successful year?
Yes, it's been really good. It's been very crazy with Ascot this year. But yeah, everything's going well. It's getting busier each year, which
and
is really
the
good.
Story of how you came up with this in the first place, it's worthwhile sharing again. Why did you decide to go into this business in the first place?
After doing fashion knitwear design at Nottingham Trent, I commissioned someone to make me a hat, and then she sold her business and asked me if I wanted to go into it. So I kind of fallen into millinery that way, and then I've learnt and done courses and everything and gone into it, yeah, as a side.
And what inspires you?
Probably the countryside with all the feathers. My dad's a farmer and I lived on a farm, so the countryside and the feather thing is a big theme of mine.
Well, we know it's going to be a successful 2019 Great Yorkshire Show for your own scenario, which of course, once again, a reminder, it's called George Durdy.
Thank you.
And you're in the Country File stand?
Yes.
Or the Country Living stand?
Yeah, Country Living, yes, yeah, I am.
And can be located over the next couple of days here, as well as all the various other events. Do you have the various social links as well?
Yes, so my Instagram is George, just at George Durdy, and my Facebook's the same.
Now, I asked this to Zoe a few moments ago. This is where you can cast your critical eye over Emily here. What sort of fascinator do you think she might suit?
Well,
or hat?
Well, I personally think the headpieces are really good because they don't get in the way if you're greeting people, and the royals have definitely set a trend. And obviously, they're just a bit more edgy than big hats with brims, so I would go that way first.
Prince Andrew is listening to this. Obviously, he needs to come here and make a beeline for this when he's actually here on Thursday. Excellent. As ever, a delight, George. Take care. See you again soon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We were speaking to Charles Mills, obviously, a few moments ago with respect to how the show is continuing to develop and grow, and he was very excited about the Kioni fashion pavilion, the Kioni catwalk. And, of course, the main person, Emily, who is really the heart of fashion when it comes to Yorkshire, is the producer extraordinaire and general all-round wonderful soul. It's Bernadette Gledhill. Yay!
Yeah, good morning, Alex.
Good to see you as ever, Bernadette.
So what do you think of our new Kioni catwalk?
I hesitate to use the phrase blown away because it's almost a cliche, but I think you've really outdone yourself once again here.
Yeah, well, we're absolutely thrilled because we have Kioni sponsoring us for the second year, but we've also been able to open right up into the Great Yorkshire Showground this morning with the Slingsby Gin Garden as well. So the fashion show, we've moved locations, so we've actually moved down, but really we've moved down so that we can actually open right up into the showground. We've actually got a screen outside as well, so hopefully the people can be out there today and they can sit and they can see the show outside as well as inside. But the great thing now is that we've actually got a larger venue so we can get more people. So we're going to have around 7,000 plus visitors over the 3 days, which has really gone up in numbers. And yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, I think I remember the first year this was being held, probably 2004, 2005, when I was here with Lady Emma Ingleby and we were sorting out a few other bits and pieces. Yes. And to see the way it's actually grown and developed over that, I mean, again, you must be very proud.
We're very, very proud, actually. And we're very proud that so many people, you know, now really look to the fashion show as a real showcase for Yorkshire fashion. We always include Yorkshire companies, Yorkshire designers. We've actually got a designer back with us today who was actually a Yorkshire girl who now lives in London, designs in London, and dressed many of the stars. And she's back here this week showing on the catwalk 10 years after she graduated. So we've actually brought her back as an established designer.
Sensational.
Which is absolutely fantastic. But we have Leeds Arts University because we really like to work with upcoming designers. So we've got some amazing talent from young students. And we also have this year a company called Glyger, and they are sheep farmers in Ilstead. And this is brilliant because it really links everything together with farming, agriculture, so we can talk about the wools, and it just makes the whole Great Yorkshire Show feel as though it's linking everything together with fashion. So Goliath is a really great input and the opening scene.
Well, I think it's fair to say that this is probably the reason why Channel 5 felt they had to do two shows from the Great Yorkshire Show. And undoubtedly, if they don't actually feature this in force, then they're fools.
Oh, and we have a new presenter this year as well. So we have Christine Talbot from Calendar. This afternoon, we have a VIP celebrity catwalk show where we're going to be showing our normal fashion show. It's exactly the same show, but we actually incorporate celebrities. So we're going to be having Ryan Sidebottom, Peter the Yorkshire Vet, Hannah the shepherdess, the youngest shepherdess in the country, Hannah Cockcroft, and also Lizzie Jones, who is going to be singing in the main ring as well. And they've all been dressed and sponsored by the companies who are actually on the catwalk supplying the garments.
She's been quite hard, is Lizzie. Are you working at Twins as well?
No, well, actually the Twins were here yesterday, I think, doing a promo, but yes, no, they're not here today. I think they're at school.
Well, there we are. Emily, first time for yourself, the Great Yorkshire Show. Thoughts from yourself or questions?
Yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting something like this. Like, it's so impressive to see how it's such a professional setup in such a remote area. It must take so much planning. Like, how far in advance do you plan these things?
We normally have a sort of a debrief, probably about 6 weeks after the show. So let's say something like late August now. And then we have a debrief. And then we obviously talk about what's happened this year, but then think about new ideas and what we can do to change it. So keeping on the same style, though, obviously, still still keeping that link with Yorkshire agricultural farming, but thinking of new people that we can bring on board. We have actually already had people approach us to say, you know, we'd love to be involved. Is there any way that we could do some sponsorship for next year? But we have to make sure that it's the right kind of sponsor. Yes, it's got to be the right content. I mean, we couldn't have been luckier with Cooney and Slingsby to sponsor Cooney to sponsor the pavilion.
Slingsby and Cooney couldn't have been luckier than getting connected with yourself.
That's so lovely. Yeah, well, we haven't had a chance to test anything yet.
You can use that as a clip.
I know, but it does all fit together very well, doesn't it? Cooney with the travel and everything fits together, and we've got a fun finale for Cooney. So if you're around, Emily, you must come and see the actual show.
Yeah, I definitely would love to see it, because it looks like, even the setup now, and there's nothing. Well, there's nobody here. It's quite overwhelming. It's quite impressive.
Oh, Overwhelmed.
Well, it's funny because people sometimes come, we get lots of companies with head offices and PR offices and things in London. And obviously they love to come. And I think people are completely, when they do arrive to the show, they're completely blown away by the whole of the Great Yorkshire Show, the sheer extent of the size of the area. And, you know, and then obviously once they get here as well, this looks quite impressive too, hopefully.
Bernadette, it's been absolutely awesome. Last year, I felt very guilty because I think we were intending to feature Good Self, but time just sort of caught by us, which is one of the reasons I sent you a text yesterday. I thought we need to get them to you prime time. And we also need to do a year in the life of Bernadette Clairtail. That's also in the line as well.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm so sorry I missed you last year as well, but it's just the way things go, isn't it? But yeah, but thank you. And do both come back to the show. I hope you do. It's great fun.
We have moved outside the Fashion Pavilion and we're delighted now to speak to one of the folk behind the fabulous world of Cooney. It is, of course, the wonderful
Andy Fielding.
Andy, this is as awesome outside as the fashion show is inside. Talk to us about Cooney and why it clearly is an essential match for quality people looking for quality holidays.
Well, we're not a travel agent, we're a tour operator. So we have a carefully selected portfolio of brands that we work with, designing holidays that are bespoke to our customers. We leverage our heritage, bring it right up to the modern day, and design holidays to suit everybody, really. We have a great retail environment. We've got 4 stores within Yorkshire, in Meadowhall, John Lewis Leeds and Harrogate, and 50 stores across the country, actually. We partnership with John Lewis, so some of our stores are within the John Lewis brand. It works really well for us, and you know, it's a great thing to do.
I must admit, the USA football team will be delighted from the woman's point of view at the number of stars and stripes flags we've actually got here, which is good. Emily?
Well, with the weather today, possibly that could attract people on wanting to go abroad and everything. Do you have the most popular time of the year?
I mean, we sell worldwide holidays, so there's always somewhere good in the world at some part of the year. For the United States, Boston and New England, New Hampshire, particularly good in the fall. The colours there are incredible. California's a year-round destination, as is Nevada, Las Vegas, the Canyonlands. Going a little bit further north, to the northwest coast, Seattle, you know, that's really a summer destination. And then moving down to the Washington and Capital area, again, an extended summer season. I would say April through November.
Many of our American correspondents, both in Los Angeles and San Diego and probably New York as well, will be very impressed with this particular area that we're interviewing you in, Andy. Would you like to just describe, for the benefit of the listener, the sort of American teepee environment you've set up here?
Well, we're very fortunate to be sponsored by a lot of the tourist boards from the States in America, and United Airlines, of course. So we came up with a plan to have an American theme to support the road trips that we're promoting today. And we thought, you know, how can we bring to life what life is like in America? And we thought, what better to bring the history of the United States to the UK and the Great Yorkshire Show. It's a wigwam or a teepee. We're very fortunate, quite large, some comfortable seating areas. So if anybody's about, pop in to see us over the next 3 days.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure Prince Andrew will probably do that on Thursday. That's another line entirely. And we mentioned, of course, the connection with the fashion catwalk. That's right behind you. We've got, obviously, Slingsby Gin as well from that point of view. It's a wonderful way in which you've got really three perfect brands working together here in synchronous perfection, really.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be careful. You know, we are a particular brand. We want to work with suitable partners, and we think it works really, really well together.
It's exactly what Bernadette said, CC. So it's like it was destined to be.
Yeah, I mean, the branding's amazing. It looks great. A great environment, and when the sunshine comes out, I'm sure Slingsby's gin garden will be fully functioning and very, very busy.
Andy, it's been awesome. A reminder, in case people are actually keen on following through with Kuoni, Kuoni, and that presumably will come up on most search engines.
Absolutely, yeah. www.kuoni.co.uk.
The joys of the Lily Tree Bakery is our next port of call, and we're now delighted to speak to
Jasmine. Yes, it is. Yeah, I'm the owner.
Jasmine, talk to us a little bit about these wonderful things you've got here, from Italian garlic and herb sausage rolls through sweet chili sausage rolls and more.
Well, everything's free from, so it's all gluten-free, nut-free and soya-free, and I also cater for vegan and sugar-free, so it's more about getting a different choice to brownies, because normally when it's gluten-free it's a pie or a brownie, so I try and make a big selection of nice looking things, because some gluten-free things don't look so nice. So that's my aim.
Okay, Emily.
Yeah, you wouldn't, when some people have that image of what free from food looks like, this definitely, it wouldn't even strike you that this is free from.
Yeah, I try and test it on family members who can be very honest. So if they say they can tell it's gluten-free, I don't sell it. And then try again with the recipe. So that's my aim, so you can't tell the difference.
So do I detect a slight Durham accent?
Well, actually, I'm not. We live in Newcastle, but I'm not from Durham.
Ah.
I've got a twang from there, but that's where I'm based in Newcastle.
So Newcastle.
Yeah.
All good stuff. And are you a regular at the Great North Yorkshire Show?
No, it's my first one. I've never done it before, so yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be highly successful. Now, Emily is a hard-working undergraduate. She's doing a workplace with us at Southside Broadcasting. What would you recommend she should try?
Oh, it depends if you want sweet or savoury. So the sweet things are probably sweet. I think by her eyes it's sweet. Well, they've got the strawberry cheesecake muffin. It's filled with cheesecake, so that's always a winner. And then there's things filled with caramel, strawberry jam. So I think something filled with a treat is always good.
Yeah, all. I wouldn't know what to choose. It all looks amazing.
She's in your hands, quite literally in your hands.
It's good.
Before we move on, is there a web address? Do you actually have a web address which people can actually contact the Lily Tree Bakery?
I'm on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. So it's the Lily Tree Bakery, and we haven't got a website yet.
And will you be actually attending any other shows that we need to make the listener aware of?
Yes, in August I'm back in Harrogate again, and that's at Harrogate Food Festival. So something a bit closer.
Brown and blonde brownies, and we're speaking now to
Anushka
and
Lucy.
Okay, Lucy and Vanushka. And clearly, Vanushka, you've got "try me!" exclamation mark. All of our brownies contain nuts. Are you tempted, Emily?
Absolutely. Look at all the brownies. There's so many different flavours.
Talk us through the range that you've got here.
We've got a huge range. We do a lot of different flavoured brownies. We've got a cookie dough one. We've got a hazelnut praline, which has kind of got like a nice Ferrero Rocher taste to it. And then we've got flavoured ones like butterscotch fudge, raspberry white chocolate's very popular. And then there's always the plain, like the triple chocolate. So there's something for everybody.
Okay, so I'm going to put the onus on yourself now. Here's Emily, fine undergraduate, doing all sorts of things, broadcast media and so on. What do you think she would actually go for? What's your recommendation?
Oh my goodness, it's so hard. It's so hard to choose a brownie for someone. I would say perhaps a salted caramel. Okay, would
that be, yeah, just the sweetest, chocolatiest one, probably.
Yeah, it's salted caramel or a cookie dough, a cookie and a brownie.
The chocolatiest one, okay. Yeah. Have you got one she can actually try whilst we're doing this piece, though? Is someone from here? Okay, she's going to go for this.
This is the triple chocolate, is this one. So triple. We like to put a plain one out for everyone to try.
Has it worked?
Yeah, that's so good.
And indeed, we've got a whole range of other folks sort of queuing up literally to actually work through that whole process. And are you online?
We are online, yeah. We supply, so you can order. If you just go on the website and fill in the contact form and order form, and then, yeah, you'll be able to order them.
I'd certainly recommend anybody coming to the Great Yorkshire Show to check out Brown and Blonde Brownies as soon as possible, because I think you'll be selling out fairly rapidly, really.
I think so, yeah. We've got plenty, but, yeah, it does actually sell quite well, so...
Well, it just goes to show, when you have an exhibitor who's actually been here for the last decade and we haven't actually featured the Cornish Cheese Company before, it's our fault. But we're delighted now to speak to, from the Cornish Cheese Company,
Philip Stansfield.
Philip, talk to us about what you've actually got here in terms of the range of classic Cornish cheeses.
Well, we don't have a range. We're a dairy farm which diversified into cheese making 17 years ago, and we make one cheese called Cornish Blue, which is a soft, mild, creamy blue cheese.
Our first interview today, actually, photographer Anthony Mosley said you must come down to the Devon and Cornwall area to actually do the shows there. It's nice to see that you've come up to Yorkshire. How successful is this as a show for your good self?
It's always been very good. We do sell quite a bit of cheese in the northwest and the north, and we've had a connection with Morrison's. They used to be big sponsors here at one time. And the first 2 days, especially with the competition, is when all the cheese industry is here, so you can meet everybody and speak to everybody, so it's a good networking opportunity.
Emily?
Well, I love cheese, and I could just see all the cheese all around, so I'm pretty much in heaven right now.
You've pleased Emily no end with respect to just being cheese-based. Is there a taste of Cornish cheese that you might like to provide for her as a sample? Just working through this. There we are, the selection here. Now, this could be crucial, so I'll pass on this, but Emily, and this is going to be a critical thing.
Yeah, I'm not normally a fan of like blue cheeses, but that's quite mild and creamy, so it's really nice, yeah.
A lot of ladies find that. They can eat that blue cheese quite easily, you know.
I know this is going to get extremely busy later on, but in terms of people who are aware of the Cornish Cheese Company, do you have an online facility? Is it cornishcheese.co.uk?
It is, yeah. We have a website there where you can browse and see what we do, and you can also buy cheese if you wish to.
And presumably you'll be back to Cornwall on Friday.
Yeah, back to Cornwall Friday. Yeah,
it's just a never-ending round. Any other shows you'd like to promote at this stage?
Well, our next show, I think, is Country Fire Live. And then we tend to take a break in August because the traffic's too bad and the weather's too warm. And then we start again at Chatsworth House in September.
Now, I'm just attracted by the name in the next area, which is Kilted Fudge Company, handmade in Aviemore using Scottish butter. And we're speaking to?
It's Chris from the Kilted Fudge Company.
And Chris, no kilt?
No, as it says, it's Kilted Fudge. Doesn't say the man behind the counter.
I see. Well said. Okay, Emily, questions?
Well, Emma would definitely love it here. She loves her fudge. Is this today's special? I see, like, there's so many flavours. Is today's special a cream egg one?
We've got a cream egg one.
I mean, just I'm just a momentary intake of breath there. What inspires you to come up with a cream egg flavoured sponge? Oh, indeed, fudge.
We're just constantly trying to think of new flavours all the time, and see it online in other countries. Thought we'll give it a try ourselves. It's proved to be one of our best sellers.
Now, I must admit, I don't detect a Scottish accent. So, where exactly are your locations?
We are actually in Aviemore itself. I was actually born in Scotland, but raised down in England, but live back up in Scotland again now.
So clearly independence could be a whole new world for your good self.
Absolutely, yes.
Let's not talk about that. Listen, what would you recommend, Chris, that Emily should actually try here just for her first taste of the Kilted Fudge?
For me, definitely either one of the new ones, the cream egg or the Biscoff. Personal favourites, raspberry ripple and chocolate orange.
Which one, Emma?
Oh, I don't know. Cream egg one appeals to me lots, but is this one Biscoff as well?
Yeah, that's caramel Biscoff.
Okay. Well, this could be
all the best flavours.
This could be the critical one. Shall we try out with that one then?
Yeah, we'll give that a go.
Okay, this could be critical as the official sort of fudge maker gets sorted through here. And a reminder that you can access all sorts of other details on our website, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, in association with Farm and New Nutritional Supplements. And what is the result, Emily?
Yeah, it's delicious. It's like, it is Biscoff in a fudge, literally.
It's a winner.
Absolutely.
Not that you had any doubts.
No, not at all.
And do you have an online place that people can go and find Kilted Fudge Company about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just kiltedfudge.co.uk.
Lizzie from Ladies in Pigs is one of our wonderful founder contributors ever since the first sort of days we were doing the Great Yorkshire Show, and indeed the Lincolnshire Show, etc. And Lizzie has certainly nominated her successor, and it's Rita.
Natalie.
It's Natalie. There we are. Anyway, we'll get there. I mean, Rita's out there in the way. Anyway, Natalie is with us from Ladies in Pigs. Talk to us about this way in which awareness of red tractor pork and bacon through education and promotion is being increased.
Right, at the moment, I've been with Ladies in Pigs a few years, and when I first started we did mainly shows, promoting the Red Tractor Assurance at local shows, but now we're going into education, And we're going, we do the educational days here at the Harrogate Showground, schools days. We've done the Lincolnshire breakfast.
Countryside Links.
Countryside Links, that's it. I couldn't think what it was called. But we did the breakfast.
And the big breakfast.
Big breakfast, yeah. Yes. And last week we did an education day on Lord Halifax's estate at Garraby. And that was school children that came from Hull. So we talked to them about farm assurance, and there, I think there were three or four other stands that they went to, and they really enjoyed it. And for that we have a tractor game, and they have to pick out the shopping baskets which food has got the red tractor on it and which hasn't. And then we also have a jigsaw, which is a pig with different cuts of meat on it, of pork on it, but they're not necessarily the English one. So they have to have a bit of a guess as to where it should go, and they thoroughly enjoy it.
Of course, the sad news about this year's Great Yorkshire Show is sadly, due to unforeseen circumstances, no pigs out there. Perhaps they were panicked, so they might be served up as exhibits if they failed.
well, nobody seems to know what's happened. All I know is that a pig was taken ill at another show, so because of that, they've decided that better, you know, not have any pigs rather than risk a disease that could potentially spread throughout the British pig herd. So.
Which you don't want that kind of Armageddon going through one of the country's premier agricultural shows. It just wouldn't work at all. Emily?
I can see some cooking going on. What's that all about?
All right. Well, at the moment, what we're cooking, we're doing sausages throughout the day for Tasted. They're from a local farm shop called Tankard Farm Shop. And we're also doing a bolognese, which is a recipe that we've put in the children's pig issue. So it's a simple bolognese, but it's fairly tasty. So we were giving samples of those out throughout the day.
Well, I mean, clearly, I think Emily is probably deserving of a sample. What do you say, Natalie?
Well, we'll have to see if there's one ready for her. I'm sure she can have some.
And you've got an ideal position here, actually, for people who are listening to this and are thinking about coming along to day two or day three of the Great Yorkshire Show, because you're in the main food hall, and you're also just by the sort of outside. So you've got a nice sort of breath of air as well.
Yeah, thoroughfare. We're in the corner near all the other growers. There's carrot growers, salad growers, the NFU's here. And that lady over there I'm going to have a look at because she's doing Yorkshire bread lamb, so I might just have to wander over.
Absolutely. And a reminder, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Pinterest, on Twitter, it's Ladies in Pigs that you need to actually check out. Plus, of course, there's a web address as well to find out more about some of the educational activities and some of the excellent work that you guys have been doing over the last decade, really.
Yes, it is, yeah. I mean, I've been doing it for 6 years and they've been going a lot longer than that, so yeah. Yeah, we do. Well, hopefully, we do good work. I haven't had any bad reports yet, so.
And Lizzie, just sort of bear in mind that Natalie deserves a pay rise just for that sort of superb interview, so I'm just putting that across there.
All right, I'll be sure to tell her.
Now, when you actually come to Passion de Fromage, we're delighted to speak now to Monsieur
Christian Ponteau.
Christian, wonderful to see you here again. Talk to us about some of the cheeses you have here.
I have a bed cheese, the Comté, specialty for French, Comté, Roquefort, sheep cheese in goat and sheep also, Camembert.
Of course, c'est naturellement Camembert, I mean, c'est incroyable. Emily, cheese, you are a fond cheese person.
Yeah, I do love cheese, I do, j'adore. But also, it's not just cheese here. We've got saucisson here as well. Lots of different saucisson. Some with pheasant, with wild boar. There's even wine and garlic.
Saucisson, c'est fantastique. Do you have a particular favourite?
For customers, it's very popular, this wild boar. But... me permanent the morning I like this, after I like this, every horse I change, I prefer, but wild boar is vraiment vraiment popular. I like with cheese also.
Well, tremendous. Anything else, Emily?
What's the most popular cheese?
Comté. C'est le Comté, 99%, because maybe 2 or 3 years before, Mr. Raymond Blanc, I speak for this in TV. But again, maybe every week, customers speak, ah, Comté, this Raymond Blanc. Donc, junction, but thank you, Mr. Raymond Blanc.
Well, we simply have to say, vive la passion de fromage, and merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup. You test cheese?
Emily?
Absolutely, I'll try a cheese.
I thought it was a bit of a no-brainer, but I thought it does need to be sorted out from that point of view. As we get the cheese, this is a serious slice of cheese that I think is coming across here, Emily. So here we are, Passion de Fromage. This could be the moment. A reminder again that you're listening to Southside Broadcasting on Location with the Midweek Drive at the Great Yorkshire Show 2019 with pharmanonnutritionalsupplements.co.uk and Emily.
Yeah, which cheese is this one? Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, I love it. I love cheese. Just love cheese.
Well, there we are, Emily. Obviously, the perfect end to a whole range of things from that point of view. Cheese and saucisson and so on. Presumably, all you really need now is the gin and that's it, basically.
Yeah, well, I could just eat more cheese all day.
Emily, the weather continues to be a little bit fresh and nice and breezy, but at least the drizzle will come off or cease, and we're currently outside the sheep rings looking at what?
Sheep? I don't really understand how they judge them, because to me they all just look like sheep.
They do have a specific routine. I mean, as we can see here in front of us, I think the judge is obviously checking the legs, the quality of the aspect from that, the quality of the fleece, etc. It's quite astounding. We actually launched this piece with some of the number crunching in terms of the number of judges and things that are actually involved. But certainly, this is it's fair to say the creme de la creme when it comes to sheep. Actually, sheep in front of us just lost his red rosette for a moment. There, he's back with him now.
Yeah, that one's moving around quite a lot. They've managed to get about 11 sheep over there, all stood still, so I mean that must take a lot of work.
Success.
I don't know a lot about sheep.
An Olympic team. If only Lou Bevan, our countryside correspondent, was with us, but never mind. We're still going to try and track down Rob Nichols, who should be around somewhere. We believe in 8th Avenue, and we're currently trying to locate that. So hopefully, when next you hear from us, we will be speaking to the Tees Valley people. Now, clearly, as I pointed out to Zoe Jameson when she's now doing her weekly slots for Siren Radio, Dewberry should have been here, because they're not. And I know they're represented by Brocklehurst, but we're not with Brocklehurst, and we're not with Dewberry today, because we're with Fairfax and Favour, who are here. How are you?
We're doing all right, yeah. A little bit overcast.
Ben, you're doing better than all right. It's Fairfax and Favour. You're doing sensationally well. It's positive. Let's be up there.
It's a great one to be back at. We love coming to the Great Yorkshire. It's a great one, and it's one of the only two shows we do up here as well. So it's quite nice to see the big base that we've got up here.
But it is something which I must admit, I mean, I've shared this, and I know we won't talk about the other company beforehand, but I did say I'm surprised that they didn't actually come up here, because in many ways the Great Yorkshire, it kind of, you know, it would fit in with their brand, etc. And obviously Charles has to stand in the bucket of water himself these days, but what the heck.
They used to come here once upon a time, but this is our third year here, so we're more than happy to sort of fill in the void for them and just present something a little bit different.
Well, I can tell that come Thursday Prince Andrew will be making a beeline for this store if he's got any sense at all, and it will be Fairfax and Favour by royal appointment. I'm just putting that out there, Ben, so it's in the cosmos. Emily, thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, obviously we saw you at Bramham. How does this compare to Bramham? Do you find this is more like you get more like custom from this than
more Bramham? 130,000 people here, possibly not quite many as it got to at Bramham.
It's a different clientele to Bramham. Bramham, sort of, we see sort of the equestrian trade from all over. Here we see sort of much more of an agricultural base and a county base, and people are drawn from Cumbria, Lancashire, Tyneside, and everywhere to here. So it's got a much wider catchment area for us. So we do see people that otherwise we wouldn't necessarily join the calendar.
With the demise, of course, a few years ago of the Royal Show, this is pretty much England's biggest agricultural programme in terms of getting things together, in terms of prestige for cattle and various other bits and pieces.
It is now, and it's the only other biggest one in the UK is the Royal Highlands, so it's great to come to the biggest one in the UK, really. We attend many of them throughout the year, but this is definitely the biggest one for agriculture and county.
Talk to us a bit about the fabulous Fairfax and Favour and how you actually sort of have got quality couture and gear for all sorts of routines. Just share with us and the listener some of the things that people can purchase from you.
So we've got the new spring summer collection, we've got the new deck shoes, we haven't got the sandal here, they've been overly popular, especially with the weather that we've just had as well, but we've also got the classic ranges here as well, and some things that have been out of stock up for a while. So the little shoes that we've got, some of the handbags, people can hopefully find what they're looking for here.
And is it back down to London after this, so when you pack up on Thursday night?
It'll be back down to Norfolk, actually, to go reorganise for the game fair, which we've got coming up at the end of the month, which is one of the biggest ones we've got in the year.
It's all go. Emily, any final thoughts? We're currently looking actually for James Cook. I believe James Cook is actually here. He's apparently on stand 322 in 8th Avenue. So are we close by?
322, we're somewhat close by, so yeah. A little bit further down.
We'll obviously have to make that a little bit further down, but it's been a delight just encountering yourself. A reminder, Fairfax and Favour, presumably on all the usual social media channels?
We are, yep. You'll find us, Fairfax and Favour, on all the social media channels, and it's nice. Thank you very much for coming to see us today.
Well, we just have Emily, not Ben, your namesake, because the other Ben is actually now ensconced in London doing wonderful work for PR agencies and so on. For the photo shoot, it'll just be yourself and Emily, but as ever, a delight.
Yeah, thank you very much, and a delight again.
We found him, Emily, or rather, I have to say you found him, because we were unsure in terms of whether James Cook was here. We actually had doubters. Obviously, our Ben from Favour and Fairfax didn't seem to think it was the Captain Cook at all. The show director, Charles Mills, also had doubts this morning, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, who would have thought show director Charles Mills didn't realise that James Cook was actually in the house?
I'm shocked.
On the
I am shocked. Yes. I made a special excursion because 250 years ago I was in the Pacific Ocean and I would set up my instruments to plot the transit of Venus across the sun. Well, very important, you'll understand it's very important because it allowed people to calculate the distances between the planets and the distance between the Earth and the Sun, and you only have two chances in over a century to do that, and they'd wasted the first chance, it hadn't worked. So this was an opportunity. So that's what I was doing 250 years ago, and I've made a special excursion to the Great Yorkshire Shore. I've managed to survive getting through the traffic of Knaresborough to get here.
It's true, and we're actually at the stand which says enjoy Tees Valley, yes, and why it. Wouldn't we from yes. that point of view? And Emily, what questions have you got first and foremost for Captain Cook?
Well, what's on all the stands really? What is this? What is it all about?
This is about, it's the Combined Authority Tees Valley, which is for all the boroughs around the Tees, and it's to show that they've got a tourism officer and they're trying to push the tourism for people to come to Hartlepool, Redcar, Middlesbrough, Stockton, Darlington, Saltburn, yes, yeah. And I'm trying to coax people to come and do a Captain Cook tour, go to the Captain Cook Birthplace Museum, which of course is not too far from
the James Cook University Hospital.
Yes, indeed.
Home of Southside Broadcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. To get them there, because 1728, I was born in a hovel, really, called a biggin, which was just where you lived in a sort of earth-clad hut with a family, and then half the space was with animals. And I was born there in 1728. I was brought up in Marton. Then I went to Great Ayton. So you can do a tour. You can go from the Birthplace Museum at Marton, and you can see the church where I was baptised. Go to Great Ayton, it's only 3 or 4 miles away, and go to the schoolroom where I was educated, and then go on to the coast at Whitby, where I learned my trade, learned to be a sailor in the museum there. You can go there. And, of course, there's the newly sighted replica of the Endeavour Bark Endeavour is in the River Esk at Whitby now, where you can learn about, well, you can experience what it might have been like to be aboard that small ship that went around the world.
Yeah, sounds worth doing, definitely.
Good. Most definitely, exactly. Well said. Good. And now if we actually sort of use the power and the wonderful magic of radio to actually move a couple of centuries further forward and actually look at James Cook's alter ego, Rob Nichols, man of Middlesbrough, and all sorts of other routines. Rob, your first ever Great Yorkshire Show, I believe.
Yeah, it is. I'm staggered by, well, you went to the showground early in the morning and there's just absolutely millions of people. It's incredible.
By early, we're talking 7 a.m. actually.
In your case. Yeah. That was my intention. But it's amazing. It's just so massive, isn't it? And just so many stalls. How many stalls?
Glastonbury, but with more animals.
Yeah, well, allegedly. Yes. I haven't really explored it yet because I've been on this store, but I can't believe the size of it and that there's so many things here and so many stuffed animals as well as animals. I noticed as prizes. quite like that.
You've certainly got an interesting position here, because as I say, we've wandered around and looked to find this location, obviously, yeah, on 8th Avenue. Finally managed to track you down, as you said, not too far away from the sheep shearing, which is all good.
Land Rovers,
exactly, yeah. And the army as well, so great stuff there. Yes. On another series, though, hashtag enjoy Tees Valley. It's great to see that clearly, you know, the North is showing, and Tees Valley in particular, that actually it has got some wonderful special things to actually celebrate. We talked, obviously, about the upcoming Saltburn National Food Festival on the last Sunday in July. We'll be promoting that and obviously passing out our leaflets. Hopefully you've got your leaflets and cards that have been spread around.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So good stuff from that. Because actually, talk about staycation, talk about impacting or not impacting on the globe. This is an ideal way of actually making sure of the jewels that are in our own backyard.
Well, yeah, there's not many places around the country where you've got the moors and you've got the coast, and then we've been doing a lot on the river as well, going on because you can take cruises up and down the River Tees, and the Tees is the heart of Tees Valley, the heart of Teesside or whatever, and there's an awful lot to offer in our area for those that live in Teesside.
Certainly also echo the notion that if you're looking to check out something, which I think Emily you're taking surprised by the fashion show as well, worth attending.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just shocked by that. Yeah.
You've got major international fashion shows sponsored by Coroni Travel, just next door to the Poultry.
Oh, really? I like these juxtapositions.
Yeah. And, of course, you've got the main room activities as well. And I see the giant, the giant deck chair, which obviously is a photo opportunity, just crying out for a Fly Me to the Moon Book of the Month slot from that point of view with yourself and Emily. And I'm going to remind you, I see that the live music is actually there as well. Gentlemen seems to be getting ready to set up, really.
Yes, I think they're promoting surf, I think, which will be at Stockton International Riverside Festival, which starts very soon at the end of the month. So.
Not to be confused with wax on, wax off and surfboards.
No, not to be confused, no.
Now, Captain James Cook, or Rob Nichols, you have introduced us to a fine soul here who's just about to share some words, because she's wearing the official Enjoy Tees Valley sweater, hoodie, snood, I don't know what to scream to her. I'm not the fashion expert. Anyway, Rob.
Well, this is Julia. So you work in tourism, don't you, for Enjoy Tees Valley? Is that your
title? I do, yes. Yes, we're Enjoy Tees Valley. We're the destination marketing organisation for the Tees Valley area. We only launched last year, and nobody's been promoting our area for about 8 years before that. So we're here at the Great Yorkshire Show for the first time, just to let people know that Tees Valley is a great visitor destination. We've got lots of things to do there, and just spreading the message.
Well, that's something. I mean, we've been covering the Great Yorkshire Show now probably for about high end of 15 or 16 years. And I've always thought, well, we've promoted various other things. I mean, Lord knows there's even Merseyside International Horse Festival being promoted as well in all sorts of ways. I thought, why not our local area? So it's great that you actually are here, and actually quite a nice location with really wonderful shade from the drizzle or the sun.
Yes, exactly. No, we're really happy to be here, and Yorkshire is a really great target market for Tees Valley, because it's not that far away for people to come for day trips or to come for overnight stays. So yeah, we just hope we can just be here and talk to as many people as we can and get people to visit our fantastic area.
In these days of YouTube, there's no reason why you shouldn't actually go online and type in the Big Valley, and I'm sure if you actually use the theme to the Big Valley to the Tees Valley, you could actually use that. Actually, I say that because even in the Big Valley of Western, which Rob you may remember starred Barbara Stanwyck and Lee Majors,
right? Lee Majors,
before we became the $6 million man, actually was based in a part of the States which actually had its own local town, which was called Stockton. So surely there's a connection there.
Yeah, sounds like it.
YouTube, the Big Valley, Emily.
Well, yeah, for anyone wanting to visit.
Have you got any questions for Julia?
What do you most find yourself like promoting about, like, within Tees Valley?
Well, we actually have a big adventure scene, which people might not know about Tees Valley. So along the River Tees, you can do kayaking, canoeing, whitewater rafting. We've got the Transporter Bridge in Middlesbrough that you can actually bungee jump off, and it's the only bridge in England where you can do that.
It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. Sorry. Rob might, but, you know, these days, no.
Well, for the more adventurous between us. We've got lots of sort of adventure, lots of nice walking, cycling, Gisborough Forest, things like that, that people might not realise that we've got in our area.
Palmers.
Yes. can't not mention the Palmo.
Well, you could, but what the hey. Moving on from that point of view, of course, what was it that appealed to yourself about the Tees Valley? I mean, if I was to ask you, Julia, say, okay, right, pick out one sort of thing there. I mentioned, obviously, the upcoming Saltburn International Food Festival, which Lorna is actually coordinating. Lorna's taken the trip down the Tees, I think, and has really enjoyed that. What, from your own point of view, is the key sort of aspect?
I think it's the same for me. It's the events scene. So we've got Orange Pit Market in Middlesbrough, which happens April to September on the last Saturday of the month. Like you say, the Saltburn Food Festival. There's food and drink festivals in Darlington. We've got the Stockton International Riverside Festival. We've got the Festival of Thrift, which is an amazing sustainability themed festival at Kirkleatham in Redcar. So yeah, there's just so much going on during the summer. There's events, you know, nearly every weekend.
And let's not forget the slightly smaller, little teeny cousin, but nevertheless perfectly formed version, the Cleveland Show, which takes place at Stewart Park on the last weekend in July as well. That's a Saturday, I think.
Yes, no, definitely the Cleveland Show, like you say, is another good agricultural event and a nice family event for people to come to in Tees Valley.
And indeed, based on James Cook's homeland in many ways.
I believe James Cook might be making an appearance and taking people around the museum that day.
You would have thought this has been cross-promotion planned in all sorts of ways. Julia and Rob, aka James Cook, wow. Many thanks indeed, take care, and we'll see you again soon, no doubt.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
One of our traditional things, Emily, that we always like to do at the Great Yorkshire Show is to spend a certain amount of time in the main ring, because it is very much the centre and the heart of the showground. We'll shortly be seeing Lizzie Jones and the band of the Yorkshire Regiment, together with some show jumping, the William Hanson Stakes, before we go off to check out the fashion show. But what are your thoughts as you gaze out across the vista of the show jumping that's taking place at present in the main ring?
As you know, I'm not a massive fan of horses. But yeah, the even the seating area and everything is quite a contrast from the seating area at Lincoln, for example. But yeah, it's bringing sort of Bramham vibes, horse trial vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously Bramham is a specialised horse trial eventing programme, just like badminton and Burley. I would say, with respect to Lincoln, we were obviously in the members area there as well. We're in the sort of press zone as far as the main stand is concerned. And yes, excellent view, but it's a wonderful sort of amphitheatre that you've actually got here. Weather-wise, again, I think for the animals, lovely. Probably, as you were saying, it might be a bit brighter. I mean, I think some of the clouds overhead suggest here on day one of the 2019 Great Yorkshire Show, there might be a little bit of more precipitation coming.
Yeah, it feels like it's cooled down a little bit. So, great for the horses, but maybe not for the humans.
we need to be sort of relatively cool from that point of view. I think Rob Nichols is currently checking out the fashion show. He may well be joining us for a cup of tea in the press area later. Who knows? We will be seeing the fashion show and giving you some thoughts there. But for the moment, any particular highlights that you've actually had of this so far, your first ever Great Yorkshire Show?
Well, obviously, like with any event, the food hall. I love that. And the amount of cheese. There was so much cheese. It was all really nice. And then interview-wise, it was really nice to talk to Bernadette from the fashion show. And I also, I don't know, we've had some great interviews.
Charles Mills,
morning.
I think, was quite a character, really. Show director.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've managed to track down the original Captain James Cook once again, and in fact we've managed to shanghai him to sort of sit with us in the main stand, and whether it's James Cook or indeed Rob Nichols. Rob, what are your thoughts as we sit here in the main stand and the main ring at the Yorkshire Showground watching the Ridden Hunter Trials?
Well, it's not something I've ever experienced anything like this before.
It's not like the Riverside on a sort of hot Friday evening.
It isn't. But I suppose it has that feel of, I'll be going to a pre-season friendly on Wednesday, it has that feel of a sort of summer sport, doesn't it? I actually used to do show jumping in Martin, where both Captain Cook and myself are from. It used to be like show jumping in the fields, when there were fields before they were built on.
And before they had a hotel and country club which has now been burnt to the ground. That might bring show jumping back.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of obstacles there now, unfortunately, but... Yeah, so obviously this whole show ring's been here for a long time, hasn't it? This is a permanent structure, isn't it?
I think it's one of the things that actually makes the Great Yorkshire Show very much England's premier agricultural show with the demise of the Royal Show. This is very much the standard one. And a little bit of trivia that actually came through a few years ago when we spoke to Nigel Pulling, the chief executive at the Yorkshire Agriculture Society, is there was an opportunity for it to have the name Royal before it and actually become the Royal Yorkshire Show. But they couldn't have actually had Royal and Great, so they couldn't have had the Great Royal Show. So they decided to stick with the Great Yorkshire Show. And I think actually that's a fair point, because obviously Prince Andrew is up on Thursday, so it hasn't sort of harmed their Buckingham Palace connections.
No, well, Great Royal is a bit of a bit much to trip off the...
Totally, yeah, exactly. You've got to keep it simple from that point of view. And as I say, onwards, a new season of Fly Me to the Moon will be occurring, so let's talk a bit about that as we sit through that. Optimistic, do we feel, in terms of the Jonathan Woodgate era?
Well, it is a fresh start, isn't it? And it's a you could say it's a bit of a punt going on Jonathan Woodgate, but he came across so well, I thought, as his opening conference, and his talk about been looking at a long-term development of the club, continuity from Tony Pulis, if you like, in the way that he's a head coach. He's not going to come and change the transfer policy, and they're going to have some continuity beyond, if Jonathan Woodgate's not there for that long, beyond, and hopefully he is, beyond that. I thought he looked really proud, as Punch, really, that taking the job. And I think he'll take a bit... You have to convince a few people, because he's not a name. He's somebody from inside the football club, but he's achieved a great deal in his career. And I know he's
so. Of course, was Kenny Dalglish when he was appointed manager of Liverpool, and Pep Guardiola when he was appointed manager of Barcelona, and dare I say it, Frank Lampard at Chelsea.
Yeah. Well, I suppose your Lampard is your exception in that he's gone out of Chelsea and picked up experience playing wise and coaching and managing wise out. At Derby
and Manchester City, of course.
Yeah, but
as a manager,
as
indeed.
A manager, yeah, and that's obviously Jonathan Woodgate hasn't done, but he's done a lot of coaching at Middlesbrough, and I think his attention to detail has impressed everybody. He knows everybody in the club, every player. He knows also, and that'll help him bring on and nurture the next generation from the academy. And once you promote one player from the academy, it's a boost to everybody else, even like young kids coming into the club, because they know there's a pathway there for them to follow. And it'd be something really good to go back to that again. But hopefully add to it with one or two keynote signings with a little bit of experience. We might be looking long term. We might not be challenging for the top spot this season, but you never know.
Absolutely. And whilst I was rescuing you from the press centre, Emily has been busy watching this. Emily, what's been happening whilst you've been around? Quick question for yourself, Emily. What's been happening?
I've just seen horses. Some going wild. Some running around. Most of them are just stood there though. I'm not really sure. There's just horses stood there as far as I can see.
And that's why Emily Hartley is our equivalent to Sue Smith when it comes to assistant commentary for various other bits and pieces. I remind you, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting on location with Midreet Drive and in association with Pharma Non-Nutritional Supplements at the Great Yorkshire Show 2019. And more to come when we actually will be reporting a little bit from the fashion show before we say farewell for this day one extravaganza. Well, it's almost time for us to wrap up our particular coverage at Southside Broadcasting in association with Pharma Nord, for day one of the 2019 Great Yorkshire Show. But before we do that, just a chance for Emily to share your thoughts. You've just come out of the Quarony fashion area. I watched most of it actually on screen. You're actually in there, standing throughout. So that's all good, seeing the likes of Ryan Sidebottom and Lizzie Wallace and company on stage. What did you make of it?
And Peter Wright, the Yorkshire vet. I thought it was brilliant. It's like, so considering it's next to the pigeons and the rabbits, and then you go into there and it's like a professional catwalk. It's incredible, really. Yeah, it was really good. It was they had a range of music, a range of fashions, a range of styles. Yeah, it was really enjoyable to watch. It was something different and I enjoyed it, yeah.
I suspect this might be one of your highlights of the day there.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
There you go. Well, still to come, as far as our summer coverage of programmes are concerned, we'll be looking at a trip to the Great Yorkshire Maze, or the York Maze, Europe's largest amazing maze. We've got, of course, the Saltburn International Food Festival. And, of course, then we're back here with the Autumn Flower Show. In between times, we'll be heading off to the joys of the the Burley Horse Trials. For now, though, this has been Emily and Alex doing their stuff at the Great Yorkshire Show. Marks out of 10, Emily?
Well, I haven't seen it all yet because it's massive.
You'll be coming back tomorrow and the day after.
Yeah, I need to see all the animals, especially the cows. But, yeah, I'd say a good 9, maybe a 10 if the weather was better.